because of the social stigma that still attaches itself to HIV infection, many people simply stay away. And in fact, as few as 5 years ago, I was in the habit of advising people, because then there was an absence of effective medical intervention and also an absence of effective human rights protections. So I was advising people that it was not worth the risk to be taking the test. With those two situations drastically changed in Canada now, we still need something to assure people that the risk has been minimized.
That was Michael Smith speaking to CBC back in 1990. At the time, he was education coordinator at the AIDS Committee of Ottawa. You just heard him mention how around 1985, the situation was rather bleak when it came to treatment for and of patients with HIV/AIDS, which would explain why 1985 was also the year the AIDS Committee of Ottawa was born. That committee turns 30 this year. Tomorrow night is the first celebration of the milestone year with a house concert at the ACO's new home on Main Street. Khalid Salam is the executive director of the committee. He's with me in studio. Hello there.
Hi, Alan. Thank you so much for having me.
And joining us is Barry Deeprose, as a Pink Triangle Services board member. He started the movement to create the Ottawa Committee. Hello there.
Yeah, hi, Alan.
So, Barry, I'm going to start with you. You take me back 30 years here. What was happening at the time that made you realize personally that Ottawa needed a place that understood what it was like to live with HIV/AIDS?
Well, it was not only to live with HIV, but it was also to prevent. Yeah, that was the other concern. But I take you back even a little bit further to my first involvement was in 1981. And in July 3rd, the New York Times had an article saying 41 gay men were showing a strange form of cancer. Of course, that was Kaposi sarcoma. And indicated that they had AIDS, as we later called it. A few days later, there was another news story that gay men were suffering from a weird pneumonia, PCP. And I went to work. I then was a volunteer on the Gay Line, which was the means of getting information out to the gay community in Ottawa. It was long before the internet, of course. And we would get literally thousands of calls. And I remember walking in one night shortly thereafter, and someone had cut out the article from the New York Times and put it on our door. And I just immediately realized something dreadful had gone wrong. And then people were calling the Gay Line to try to find out about this, and there was literally no information. And this really prevailed. It grew that people were calling the line then with full-blown symptoms over the next years.
Wow.
And in 1984, the virus was discovered. And still nothing was happening. Public health was doing nothing.
This is in 84.
In 84. Mm-hmm. No one could say how you prevent this, what this is. And finally, I guess by 85, a dear friend of mine was clearly dying with AIDS-related issues, opportunistic diseases. And I thought, no one's doing anything for this. So I just took the risk, and one night at the board meeting of Pink Triangle Services said, I'm finding a subcommittee to both provide information and support. And Bob Reed happened to be on the board. He has since died of AIDS himself, seconded the motion.
Can you give me an example of something back in the time in 85, then, once that committee is actually formed and off and rolling, just one example of the service you were providing then that was going to change things? Because, as you say, if nothing was being done, what was an example of what the committee stepped
well,
in
the
to
first
do?
I think the first committee the first issue was taking care of the ill.
Yeah.
I mean, we had case after case of people in the hospital, and their food was put on the tray outside their door because people were afraid to touch them. They're given plastic utensils. And many nurses were afraid to touch them. There was a huge education point to be done. And I wound up speaking to home care workers, to hospital workers, with the very little bit of knowledge that I managed to get out of the gay community in New York with the gay men's health crisis, where I got my information from. So we founded the Buddies, trained them that winter, and began providing services in the following year. The other issue that came up, I'll just interrupt you, was that fall, the test became available, as Michael was talking about. Mm-hmm. And people did go for the test. And it was utterly traumatic to realize then how many people were infected, because there was an 11-year latency period. And we realized what a huge job was ahead of us. But also to get the word out for people to be careful. And in 86, we had our first condom blitz.
Khaled, I'm wondering what's going through your mind when you hear Barry describe what that movement was like at that point in 85. We're talking about 30 years ago. And I'm just wondering what's going through your mind when you compare it to
I have a lot of different thoughts. But first and foremost, I just want to say that it's an absolute privilege to be doing this interview with Barry, given that he's one of the founding fathers of the AIDS Committee of Ottawa. And, you know, as we look to pay tribute to the last 30 years, when Barry was talking, I was just thinking about how privileged we are today in terms of the resources that we have, the information that we have, the funding that we have, the staffing that we have, the awareness that we have, even though we have a lot more work to do around stigma, you know, compared to how little Barry and the founding fathers and the founding people had 30 years ago. So a lot of what we are able to do today was built on the backs of many people that we look forward to honoring as we celebrate our 30 years. So those were some of the thoughts that were going through my mind.
When I found that clip of Michael in archives and I was going through the stories that CBC had done featuring AIDS Committee of Ottawa over the years, it ranged everything from legal issues that were happening at the time to the question of funding. And there would be numerous times in interviews where the question, you could almost go year to year, your funding hasn't changed. Your funding hasn't changed over time. How is funding now for the AIDS Committee of Ottawa?
Well, we are very blessed and fortunate to have the Ministry of Health and Long-Term Care, specifically the AIDS Bureau. They are our core funders. And as a result, we are able to sustain the services and programs. Without the AIDS Bureau, we wouldn't be able to do the work that we do. And we are also blessed to have some funding from the City of Ottawa, from Mac AIDS Fund, from Community Foundation of Ottawa, as well as having corporate and private donations throughout the course of the year. But primarily, our services and programs are sustained through the AIDS Bureau. So we are very, very fortunate that provincially in Ontario, an AIDS Bureau exists and provides the type of funding that we get.
Barry, did you think in 1985 that you'd be talking about the AIDS Committee in 2015? I am seriously curious about what your vision was at that point. So many people were so scared about what was going to happen. What did you think the future held?
I thought we'd pull together and get this thing solved and get on with our lives.
Right.
It didn't occur to me that this would be with us for this many years. There have been medical improvements, of course, and the rate of infection has gone down. But it took a long time to get buy-in with the medical establishment, with public health. We were quite besieged when we founded the AIDS Committee. We seemed to have to fight for everything. And it was, to me, a mixture, personally, of anger, guilt, anger, fear, and grief. Because all this time, our friends were dying.
Khaled, tomorrow you're hosting this house concert
yes.
at the new space on
yes.
Main Street in Old Ottawa East. That's celebrating the 30 years of service that the AIDS Committee has managed sure. to do. What's planned?
So tomorrow is going to actually be the official launch of our 30th anniversary commemorative initiative that we have taken on, and we're calling it ACO XXX, ACO 30 basically. Mm. Our words, our stories, our lives. So tomorrow, before the fundraising house concert, we'll have Water Source Creative and Skylark Pictures, two companies that we have hired, to do a bit of a teaser presentation for our community to kind of whet people's appetites a little bit in terms of what is to come when we actually do the official launch on September 19th when we celebrate our 30th birthday. So this commemorative initiative, is really important to us. This is a historic moment, a very important moment in time for the AIDS Committee of Ottawa. And our organization really put their thinking caps on a few months ago. And we involve staff members, board members, volunteers, community members to kind of come together and think of what is the most appropriate way, you know, we can really pay tribute. So we thought of creating this legacy project, and it's going to be a multi-pronged approach. So to make a long story short, we'll have a bilingual coffee table book, hardcover coffee table book that we're going to create, and it will chronicle the social political climate of HIV/AIDS in the early days, like Barry was referring to, in the early 80s. And then it will also look at the movement that started as a result of it, and then, of course, the genesis of the AIDS Committee of Ottawa. And most importantly, it will really take a look at the lives of people living with HIV/AIDS and closely affected by HIV/AIDS. That's one aspect of it. And then we'll also have a website, a standalone website that will house an online version of this coffee table book. And it will include short clips, short interviews, video interviews of people who are in the book. It will also be an online fundraising platform for the AIDS Committee of Ottawa. So it's really multi-pronged, as I mentioned. So, you know, we want to pay homage, pay tribute to the HIV/AIDS movement over the last three decades. But we also want this to be an educational tool to destigmatize the work that we do, to destigmatize HIV/AIDS, and of course, the fundraising component, an ongoing fundraising component, where people will be able to go on this website and see people's stories and be able to make a donation to the book, or you know, they can purchase individual prints of the book. So there'll be many various different components.
We've got the information up on our website, cbc.ca/allinaday. Khaled and Barry, both of you, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Khaled Salam is Executive Director of the AIDS Committee of Ottawa. Barry Deeprose is a volunteer with the Senior Pride Network, past volunteer with the AIDS Committee of Ottawa. And tomorrow night, there's a concert in honor of this year's 30th anniversary of the organization happening at the ACO's location, 19 Main Street. We've got a list of all the information about that on our website, cbc.ca/allinaday.
Performing, and the opening act will be Glenn Nuatio.